action we need to put into place? What is the action we need to take? What do I need to do? We've already seen that the marriage institution, the man and the wife team, there was nobody before Adam and Eve. So that's the best ideal. You can't get better than that. And they were given the purpose and the goals. Everybody after Adam and Eve was fake copyright, copy, duplicate and something. So there was the original. Now, in order to move ahead, remember we're dealing with two people. How do you go about managing the business of family? Now, you notice now I'm talking about marriage and family like they're interchangeable, huh? Because family is derived from marriage. And all of you are products of marriage. All of us are products of family. And therefore, we start to influence the world around us because of our family upbringing. It doesn't matter what your teenager says. They distance themselves from you. You go to the school, they run away and hide, and then they ask, has he gone? That's when they come out. You know that. It doesn't matter. People know the surname, this is the father. This is the mother. And even if you don't want, you will have to come back at some point and identify with that parent. Okay? So the parent has a very, or the family, and the principles of the family, I think we have established, are the man and the woman. And you, in Uganda, you don't have a problem with that. It is man and woman, not man and man. Eh? Or woman and woman. There's no biblical reference for that. It is man and woman. And they have very specific and defined roles. But of course, these two have to work together. Now, the secret of moving ahead is in the line that I have here. The power of purpose, the power of planning, the power of agreement, and the power of action. Okay? What is the purpose if we have a common purpose? Now, you see, God is so powerful in this, in the marriage, in the family, because he unites the purpose. Incompatibility was mentioned. Do you know you are totally incompatible apart from God? God is the mediator. He is the one who will start telling you, hey boss, listen to your wife. I know you have a big head. Listen to your wife. Madam, listen to your husband. That is your mediator. And if you can read me loud and clear, a marriage that doesn't have God is not complete. It hasn't even started. If the lady is not saved, is not born again, does not recognize who God is, don't even go there. It will not start. So, young ladies, stay in the church. Just hunt here. Hapa, 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 karibu. But also observe, some of them just jifanya. They put themselves, because they know, I'll tell you a secret. When boys want to go and have a good time, they run around with women outside, outside, outside. The day they want to get married, they come to church. And they will stay in church very faithful for 2-3 years until they are hooked. Then they will leave again. So, what we're saying is the business of family is so important that God actually works in it. And we want to now look at the power of purpose, planning, agreement, and action. Now, this will happen in different ways, but the template that you have is a very important thing, which you will go home and reflect on. The first thing, in terms of the power of agreement, is your family philosophy. Family philosophy. Okay? So, on that page one now, we're working through page one. The question we're asking ourselves there is, what is our family philosophy? You know, some people decide, me, I want to get rich quick. And even if it kills me, that's okay. That's his philosophy. Pesa. Others will say, I want to serve God. And so the other one looks and says, hey, you mean we're going to be poor for the rest of our lives? As if serving God is about poverty. What I am saying is that, can you sit down and have a discussion as why God wants you to have a family? What is the purpose of family? If it is imaging God and glorifying God, are you agreed on that together? Right? Are you agreed on the purpose of your marriage? Okay? We will later get to a point where we start investigating the personality types and what each person brings to the marriage. But what is the purpose of marriage? Purpose of marriage is for God to be able to influence the world in your particular, with your giftings, with your competencies, with your skills. Right? That's the purpose of marriage. Not that I am no longer single. Oh, so people stop looking at, or to get children, or to have a beautiful woman walk by my side. No. Those allow God to influence the world. Purpose of family was God's idea, imaging God. Do we understand the purpose of parenting? Now, parenting is a big issue in family, and one of your married fellowships, you're going to have to study the process of parenting and the methods of parenting and what parenting. But now you know why parenting is so important, because it occupies a whole realm in a married person's life. But parenting is not the children. Parenting gives you an opportunity to influence generations, to change the world through parenting. We've just had a testimony of people. Many of you will realize when you look at your life that actually you are where you are by the grace of God. And when that you examine that grace now, you will realize that somebody took you and put you in a place where he has enabled you to have that foundation and invested in you so that this next generation could have life. That far. That's what you call a visionary. The purpose of parenting is to change nations, to bring up nations. You know, Joseph was part of a family. The tribes of Israel always draw the children of Israel. What are we talking about? We're talking about a nation. Transforming a nation is in the power of family. So when you discuss your family philosophy, okay, and you ask me, that philosophy is such a big word. No, discuss it. What is your understanding of these three major pillars in terms of marriage? Where are we going and how do we want it? The big tip I will tell you is, what does God want to do here? Always bring God into the picture and have him create the balance. Then those arguments disappear. Well, they don't disappear. They reappear frequently. But they have a moderation, isn't it? There is a moderator. You can even come to church and pray for your wife. Lord, I'm praying for this woman. And he will hear you. And you can come and pray for this man and God will hear you. Yeah? So if your husband is not saved, your wife is not saved, don't worry. Let her up. Even if it takes 20 years, there is no other... Don't go for witch doctors. Do you people go to witch doctors? Some people. Even in the newspaper, there is love counselors and I don't know who, how to win your husband, how to portion, I don't know. Huh? There are some famous waganga, mitishamba uko coast. Eh? Some in Tanzania. Did you hear about the ones in Tanzania? Yes. Where they give you some tea leaves mixed in water and you drink water. Mlete hapa kwa kanisa. And do you know, your family is fully represented, not half, fully represented by your presence. You, because you have become what? One. The Bible says that the children of the offspring of the saved are saved. It doesn't matter whether the other guy is not saved or not. Is there a problem? You are a full representation. Ukienda kwa Mungu na say, you know, I'm having this challenge. Your family is fully represented. It's not half. Okay. So, you need a power of agreement in that. Now, this is what you're going to do after this. You're going to actually have that discussion with your spouse and say, what do you understand to be the purpose of family? And write a line that actually reflects that. If we had the longer session, this is what you'd actually have done. You're going to ask yourselves, what do you understand marriage to be? What do you want to get out of this marriage? Young people, are you listening? Those are the discussions you should be having. And you know, eventually in this marriage, we're going to have to be parents. What is your idea? Some people have discovered after they are married that the intention of the lady was to have as many children as possible. Hey, as many children as possible. And the man is thinking, how am I going to figure out fees, what, and all these kind of things. Those are things you need to talk about. And imagine if you talk about them at the beginning, they cease to be a problem later. If you don't talk about them at the beginning, they will pop up in a very challenging way. And God has a way of blessing people who have no plan with children. All right. The next thing I want you to do is to look at a vision and a mission. Now, let me, I'm now getting into the technical areas because I want to explain how this works. What do you think God wants to bring about in your generation? Okay. Now, most of us, when we get married, we think of me. Me, myself, and I. That is the focus. What I am saying now is that both of you can submit to God's purpose. You will have a point of meeting. And you will have such agreement, even you will be shocked. Okay? Because if you are have the same belief, then the vision will be one. And even if it's not one immediately at the beginning, it will be brought together by the one who has given you that vision. So, dream. But find out what is your dream. Now, when you have a vision, look around. Where can you influence? Where is your reach? How big is it? Is it in the family at home, in the village? Is it in town here? Is it in your profession? What is your vision? What do you want to achieve? And now you look at the two of you. One is a nurse and one is an accountant. You might think those are incompatible until you open a shop with nursing goods. Did you get me? One is a pharmacist and the other is a businessman. They're incompatible until you think of, hey, if we opened a business selling pharmaceutical products, wow, we have total human resources. A musician marrying an accountant who is able now to produce, as the two of them are able to be musically accountable. But because you are fixed on your own vision, you fail to see this one, and yet there is an even more powerful vision, which, by the way, has no competition. Are you with me? There is no competition. You drew the timelines. Did you find anybody with one that looks like yours? With children in exactly the same and the same timeline, and did you find? I challenge you, look over the whole earth and you will never find. Therefore, your neighbor is not your competitor. They have their own issues to deal with and has never been and will never be. That's why you're going to be held accountable for you. Because when God looks at your timeline, there will be no other timeline like yours on earth. So don't compete with your neighbor. They do not determine your future. Let's look to God to give us a vision. Now, second, you look at what has God equipped you to do in society. That's why I'm saying, look at your education, look at your profession, look at your location. God did not make a mistake to bring you here. There is something for you in Kampala. Don't have to go to Nairobi or US or wherever. Right here is your fulfillment of profession. Okay, a few of you will be called Abraham, and you will be told, can you get up and go to a land? I will show you. But if God does tell you that, just give me a call so I can at least say there's one person who was told that. Okay, what has God equipped you to do here? Like I was saying in the morning, what makes you so angry about this dirt in this environment? Why don't you pick it up? Don't start blaming city council. They don't collect rubbish. Who is throwing the rubbish? Look at what you can do. You can tell your neighbors, hey, guys, pick up the rubbish. Yeah?
What has God, and he's given you two hands, not even one, two.
And he's given you time because you walk past there every day, you know, so that means you have time. And you see the rubbish, so you do something about it. Okay? What values define fulfillment and success in life? Okay? For some people, as I said, it is riches. For some, it's spirituality. For some, it is material things. For some, have that discussion and determine you yourself within your family. What are those things that we have that we can use for God's glory? And God's glory, forgive me, as Christians, sometimes we always think it's about becoming pastors. No. Not all of us are called to be pastors. Some of us are supposed to be good shopkeepers. Yes. And that is your eternal purpose. You are supposed to serve those people at that point. Some of us were supposed to be good sweepers, good cleaners, good business people. That's why we're good politicians. So discover what those kind of things are. Have a clear vision and a mission and values. Of course, godly values help you. When you come to the Q&A, Violet will answer something about how we came up with those, because you're thinking, wow, we have to come up with statements like to be the leading church in the next 40 years or to be the richest family in the neighborhood. Don't worry about those things. You can word it in such a way that it will bring you to God. And it doesn't have to be in that. It is to be a family that honors God in our neighborhood. Hello? That's enough. And you do everything to focus towards that. All right? So let's look at ways. So we've looked at the power of purpose, the power of agreement. And that's agreement between those two people. And then you have a vision and mission. Now, we discovered when we talked to when we had this discussion with Violet that we happen to be both education. She did a bachelor's in education. I did a postgraduate in education. Now, which other people are better placed to create a school? Yeah? I did business. I'm a businessman. Surely I can run a school. Even if I don't teach, I can leave the teaching to her. And me, I can do the accounts and the feedback and the returns. Okay? So when you weigh the options that you have, you can look at the compatibility. It's to create that. But of course, if we hadn't sat down to have that discussion, like, what do we have? It would be like, me, I pursue my business, you pursue your education. After all, I never liked teaching. But hello, guess what I'm doing now? All right? So, having that purpose of agreement, and then a vision, mission, and values. Again, there is space there that allows you to do that. Okay? Don't come up with a perfect statement, but come up with a statement that works for you. Now, let's see how we do this gifting. What has God given you? What has God gifted you with? Okay? What has God gifted you? What are the gifts that you have, the things that you have by nature? What abilities do you have? What can you do? Can you drive? Can you walk? Can you run? What are the interests that you have? What gets your attention? Is it music? Is it art? Is it NGO work in terms of cleanliness? Is it engineering? What are those things? What are talents do you have? You know, some people can walk up to you and tell you are gifted in this. You are talented in this area. It's an important thing for you to do. Now, I'll ask you to do that for the next 5 minutes. Just look at your own gifting. And if you're with your spouse, just look at the giftings that you have. And break them down into those four areas. And just think of why God has given you that particular education. Why do you think God has given this guy a gift in this particular area? Look at your gifts. Try and list your gifts. Your interests. Don't neglect interests. We're talking about dreams, right? I want to be a billionaire. That's a dream. It's an interest. It's an area of pursuit. Now, those things can engage you for life and you're actually equipped. So, note down what gifts you have. List down some areas of interest. And what abilities do you have? Maybe skills. You have driving skills, you have educational competencies. What can you do? All right. Now, sometimes we neglect abilities. But you know what? 80% of the things we do are because we have the abilities, not because we are gifted. If you apply yourself to learn how to run, you will run. And you'll probably maybe not make the London Marathon, but you will run faster than most other people. If you apply yourself to be interested in business, you will actually develop. So list down those areas and then reflect. If your spouse is here, you can have a small discussion and say, now, what do I do with this gift? What do I do with this interest? I have always wanted to do X and you have been refusing. You see, the guy has said we must do this. Okay, let's sample some things here. Who has a gift? What gift do you have? No. I said gift. Now you're telling spiritual gifts. I said gift. What gift do you have? Singing.
Praying.
She has a gift of prayer. Okay, so how can you use that gift of prayer in your marriage? Yeah. She prays in case she sees her husband is not loving her as much as, in case. So she doesn't pray all the time, she just prays in case. Okay, now let's give her some counsel. What should she do with that prayer gift? Come to prayer service. Yes, in her marriage. Yes. Yes, in her marriage, yes. She should continuously intercede for her family. Oh, yes?
They say God is the best stronghold within a marriage.
Yes.
One partner and another partner is God family. Success.
Yes.
She has to pray on
it. All the time. Yes. Absolutely. How many, ask pastor is there, how many families break because of lack of prayer? Where are the pastors? Help me here, man. I'm trying to give you jobs. Huh? Now, these guys are only praying in case. Yes? Yeah. For lack of prayer. Exactly. Yes, but for her, she has specifically the gift of prayer, which she only uses as a weapon when kikiumana, when things go bad. Yes. Now, we are advising her, use this gift liberally. And you know, we will not know whether you are praying. We'll just see blessings following and wonder, ay, wamebarikiwa. What does happen? Kumbe, she's the one who prays alone. True? Okay, let's take another one. Let's take another gift. Yes. You have a gift of singing. Okay, so how can we use this gift of singing in marriage? Yes. Okay. That can get your head outside. Now, in your marriage, how will that? Okay, he has to think about it. How can singing help him in his marriage? Yes. 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 Compatibility. Yes. There you go. So, singing can actually bring financial income and generate income for the family. So, your wife will encourage you to sing. Yes, there was a point. So, sing for your wife when she's cooking, huh? You know what I mean? There you go. These young men are inspired now. We have touched something live. Okay. Okay. Is this a different gift or is it still singing? Okay. One more for singing. Right? Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think singing would come in to be something that will bring them closer. As in, how you sing, it inspires the other person to come closer.
Yes.
And then the communication begins.
The communication, yes. See, you guys have the answers. Huh? You know what I mean? Use your gifting and it will work for you. The Bible says a gift opens doors for you in places you never had. Just use your gifting. Now let me have a different gift or talent. Yes. Now we are in the same area. Okay, dancing. Let's have another gift. Encouragement. And how does that work in your marriage? Yes. It comes in handy. At least one person, and I'll tell you something, ladies. Men will do anything for one woman, especially if that woman is his wife. They may not show it. But if I say I'm going to buy a matatu and I do this 1, 2, 3, and then Violet says, a matatu. I tell you, my ego has just gone from here. And then the matatu will not happen. And you'll wonder, you had the financial ability, everything was in place. But because of that lack of encouragement, you have killed a dream. Kabisa, it won't happen. These men will not admit because they will want to thump their chests. But the truth is that one soft word break him completely. But if she says, you can do it, my friend, he will face lions, bears, brokenness, everything, ridicule, and he says, I can do it. Because at least I have one person. Ha! Yes. Am I talking French? It's true, eh? It's easy. And it's the same case with the wife. If your husband backs you up with that particular one gift. Now, what I'm driving at is that all of these gifts and talents are used. They are commercial gifts, they are spiritual gifts, they are physical gifts, but they all work within the marriage circumstance. They cannot be applied outside if they have no integration inside. Sawa. And so that's why I disagree with you, spiritual, whatever you want to call them. I'd say they are gifts because they are for your provision for life. God has provided everything in terms of your spiritual, material, and all the needs for a good life. And they begin in the marriage. So don't apply your singing gift outside at the expense of. Don't do encouragement ministry in church without it being happening in your house. These gifts and talents, this driving skill that you keep driving people outside, you remember I told you the story of how we got this strategy? You're going to campus. That campus, we want to eat it in this house first. It must work for us. That MBA you want must work for us. It was a joke then, but now I look back, even if I'm going to college, I'm trying to go for my PhD and I'm asking, please, can I go? I know I'm going to be told it must work here first. If it's not working here, sorry. And you know, God hears these prayers. And it's amazing how you will look back. And if you have written it down, there are things that we have written down with my wife 10, 15 years ago. And we look at them today and say like, what? It has happened. When did I start talking about a master's and PhD? I think 10 years ago. It is now I've just been accepted as a student to start studying. But it's because God read the scripts. He's trying to read your life and there's nothing written down. So he doesn't know what to do. Let's see. He almost said yes, so let's take that as a yes. No. Give him some breakdown. All right? Gifts, talent, ability. What has God planted in your family that he wants to exploit? How can you exploit them? Work, create wealth, and bless the world. Remember, it blesses your family, and then it goes out. If it doesn't, if it's happening outside and not inside, you have a problem. That is going to be the cause of the breakage of the marriage. Okay? So, those are two things that are critical. The third thing I want you to start looking at is strategic thinking. Think about tomorrow. Examine your family's hopes and dreams. Now, why is this important? And why do you need to have this discussion with your family daily, over and over again, with your wife? What are you thinking? And I will give you an illustration. When I talk to my little girls and daughters about what do you want to be in the future, they tell me a policeman. She's a girl, a policeman. Okay, 2 or 3 weeks later, she says, what do you want to be? A nurse. So I ask her, what happened? I'm going to be a nurse. And then a year later, what do you want to be? A teacher. And I said, you know, now, to a person who is not strategic, they'll start thinking, this girl is confused. She needs to go for counseling so that she can pick one line. Eh? Okay? Now, listen carefully, counselors, because we do this, and teachers, we do this all the time. We assume that that gift that was planted at 2 years old is going to live with them for life. No. The reason why I'm encouraging them to talk about dreams is because the dream is more important than what they are dreaming. Do you know you stop achieving the moment you stop dreaming? When you wanted to be an engineer, you dreamt of being an engineer. And so you worked hard at engineering to become an engineer. If you had a dream of a singer, and you dreamt until you became a singer. When you became a singer, you stopped dreaming and therefore nothing else moved. Am I communicating? You must keep your dreams alive. And so when your daughter says, I want to be a pilot, fine, wonderful. You know, this child is going to continue dreaming throughout life. And therefore, they will have something to identify with their dreams with and to pursue. And it is, who gives the dreams? At some point, they will hear the call of God and somebody like Eli will tell them, oh, God is calling you. You don't know the voice of God. The voice of God says that you now have this experience and competence, you should fit here. And they will flow with it. And that's your job as a parent. Okay? So figure out. Look at goals. Set goals. Look ahead. And as Africans, because I'm an African, I know we are very poor at this. We only manage to get to the end of the week if it is payday. Because we are sure payday is coming. You remove payday, there will be no more planning. Now, why do you not achieve more than your budget? Because you have limited your thoughts to your budget. Why are you broke every month? Because you have planned to be broke every month. Am I communicating? Yes. You say you have... I've done that one. You say you have 30,000 shillings, so you plan for 30,000 shillings, and you do no more than 30,000 shillings. Now, if you want to build a new church, you don't say, how much money do I have? You design the church, you set it up, and you say it will cost this much. That's when you say, now, how do we get the money from here to build this church? Don't think reverse. Think, where are you going, not where are you coming from. Don't think, I am poor and therefore I cannot afford a car. When we used to live in a flat in Kibera, it's just next to the slum, and we had been looking for a house or trying to buy a house, and we said, now we just don't have money. This is all we have. And we was earning about 40,000-50,000 shillings. And the plots in Ongata Rongai where we were going to buy were 200,000-250,000. And I took a cooperative loan which gave us only 40,000. And so we had a choice. We could either decide that this is it and it's going to be like this for life. Or we could choose to dream and say, you know what? Where do we want to go? And let's start working towards it. So a group of us went to Niangong Hills and identified a plot of ground. And the owner was asking for $160,000 for half an acre. Well, we took a cooperative loan, as I'm telling you, and that's 40,000 shillings, and it's 160. We paid the mandatory required 10%, which was 16,000, and even helped a friend pay theirs who didn't have 16,000. And what did we do with the rest of the money? Ate it or something? I think we finished it. Then we went home and sat and said, now, what is going to happen to us? Where are we going to get this money? Do you know that time I had started selling books, and I was selling books at 200 shillings? I hawked books for 2 years and paid off that plot. We agreed that the money she got in terms of pay, you just feed us. Any money that comes through me is going to that plot. So whether we drink water or skumawiki, we know what is happening. All the money that is going, is going. I have the receipts. Sometimes I sell the 10. I used to take to the lawyer 3,000 shillings every week, or 2,000 or 5,000. And I used to be so embarrassed. Nimelete, I've just brought it. Then one day this lawyer sat me down and said, Alan, you, how do you do this? I said, what? You're doing a good thing. I said, but I'm only bringing 3,000. He said, what's wrong with you? Do you know how many people owe us money? You, at least every week, you are here with 5,000, 2,000, 7,000. I can argue your case. If somebody comes and takes your land, I tell you, this guy pays. And he's been paying like this, like this, like this, and he's finished. So me, I'm with you 100%. You will get this land. Just keep doing what you are doing. We finished paying. The story gets worse. So now we have the land. How do you build it? To get the land was a miracle, 2 years. Now it might take a century to build the house. So she took another loan. That time we had 2 years, of course, paying the loan. Eh? She took another loan of 150. We drew a plan of a house and we said, this is the house. And we argued over it. By the way, incompatibility is a good thing. The arguments, bathroom, I don't know, fireplace, no fireplace, a bathroom or a shower, the kitchen should be open. I tell you, you look back and you wonder, but the house was built. Yes? So, we took the loan, $250,000, built the foundation, flat, then we sat and said, okay, now that one is finished. Do you know? As soon as that was done, and you know, there are things you do in your life and you look back and you realize God was awake. From that time, there was no money in the bank. I got consultancy assignment after consultancy assignment. Sio pesa kidogo, good money. One assignment, the walls went up. The next assignment, the windows were done. The next assignment, the roofing beams were in place. The next assignment, I tell you, it went like clockwork for a period of about 2 years. We were like, how does this happen? As soon as the house was finished, there was no more assignments. No more assignments. Ended kabisa. I looked for these things. They're not there. When you look back, he said, God said, you have a dream. I'm answering dream. I want you to dream bigger. So he said, "Aye, Bwana, we're in our own house. We are relaxed. We are cool. Let us sit." God had different ideas. I want you to build a school. That's when she started thinking about school. They tell you these things. At your school. What are you talking about a school? We have managed to achieve a house. People never achieve to build their own houses. We have built one before the age of 40. We are doing well. Let's relax. Retire. You fool. You fool. You want to relax? You retire. You fool. Yes, you are a fool. He tells the man who has stores and everything, you are a fool. Because your life is whose? God. I still have work for you to do. Build a school. How are we going to get money to build a school? Yeah. A few weeks later, the neighbor says they are selling their land and they can sell it to us. Not at market price, but at the rate we can go afford. The consultancy assignment starts coming. We pay for the land. We buy it. We build it. We finish it. As soon as it is finished, there's no money. Even now, there's no money. It is so, so important. I don't know. I'm speaking language you want to understand. Make your dream such that it is beyond you and challenge God to see if he won't do it for you. Be strategic, examines your family's hopes and dreams. Those are the materials, the meat and the raw material that God works with. He cannot work without it. I don't know if you guys watch Aladdin. There's a movie called, is it called Aladdin? The one where there's this pink, what is it called? There's the genie. Aladdin. You watch Aladdin. There's one of the movies where there's this genie he has three wishes. And the genie does anything. Now, in one of those wishes, Aladdin is drowning in the water. He's going to die. And the genie is there like, you know what? I can't do anything unless you say something. Look, you're going to drown. You're going to die. And the condition is you must state it, the wish, isn't it? So Aladdin is drowning and drowning. Then his head does this. Then God says, yes, I'll take that. You see, he said yes. And then the genie saves him. God does that to you many times. You don't actually say yes, but he sort of makes the circumstance say, but he said I do it for him. So here, get saved. You can pass your exam. And you never studied. Purely by the grace of God have you achieved where you are. Now imagine you work with the grace of God. Where can you achieve? Okay? There are three transformative goals. I want you to, when you, by the time you get out of here, just start thinking of three goals. Or just write down, even as you are, something big that you've always wanted to do and you've always said you'll never do because it was too big. Write it here. Write it here. One, two, or even three things. I want to go to USA and be the music star. Or I want to build a house in the posh area. Where is the posh area here? It's called where? Oh, Lord. Yeah, I want to build a house there. Where? What? Something that is beyond. What do you want? All right? Write down a dream. Have you ever wanted to have an education, to go to Makerere University? Write it down. Okay, no, that's okay. Right? Write it, a big dream. You know, I did this once at a seminar, and several years later, I came to meet this gentleman in church. He stopped me and told me, you have changed my life. I said, I don't know you, and I have not changed your life. Sorry, we worship here, but no. He said, you don't know. You came. And you challenged us to set three goals. And I set three goals. One was to build my family a house. The second was to get an education. And the third was to buy a Prado. And I said, well, that's interesting. And he said, I have built the house. I have gotten an education. And you see that Prado over there? I have just bought it. You know, I was shocked. I almost said, I didn't quite mean it like that. But here he is. His faith. His dreams. Those were not my dreams. May I just said, write down and challenge God. But you know, you have to be willing to work. Eh? Don't just think they will drop. You say, God, I'm willing to work with you for your glory in these things. And that guy testified in China and says, you challenged me, but I give all the glory because I never thought I could even own a house myself. I never thought I would be able to get an education. I never thought my wife would respect me this much because now she sees I am somebody in society. You know, men like Prados because it makes them feel like, I'm a man, man. You show me yours. You show me your car. I mean, a car, don't show me car. Car. There are those who are judge them. You see, it's You know? So, make those dreams. So set three transformative goals. And if you are bold and brave, then decide that you're going to build a hotel or something. Now, I'm not giving you a timeline, but work with God, and probably the next time I'm back here or a little later, you will testify. All right? Strategic thinking. Now, many times married people get into arguments because they're thinking of, why didn't you buy meat? You didn't buy bread yesterday. Where did this money go? And what? Do you know what I'm saying? Last week you bought bread every day. Today is Tuesday. I haven't seen any bread. Now, if you're looking at those kinds of strategic thinking, you're not thinking strategically. You can't do anything with that. You must think long term and align your thoughts long term so you know why there is no bread. I'm reminded of the story of the fellows who, there's this couple who had decided one day that they would have a joint account. So their money was going in, everybody. So the man used to go and find, hey, they were doing well. They were doing well. Then, but he didn't talk to the wife. He's just putting the money. So he decides to save quietly and say, now since we're doing well, let me add my savings and not bring out. He's not talking to his wife. So his wife goes and finds money. She goes, she comes home. And decides, the more he saves, the more good meals he gets at home. He more saves, the more he love he receives in the home. So one day he goes to the bank and he says, where's the money? And he says, but your statement, your wife is a signatory. Yes, she drew the money. So he comes back. You have used all the money I've been saving. He said, but you have eaten it. All this food we have been eating, see, it's your money. We have agreed you ate it. Now, do you have a plan? Even if you're saving, talk to one another so that you know that you may be eating each other's savings, okay? So if you have that dream, don't dream by yourself. Put on a table. The reason I am starving or fasting every 2 weeks is because of this. Have it online. Okay, now let's go. Here's a big one. I've given you two. This is the third one. It's called wealth creation. And there it's so, so important. People don't like to talk about money, but those are the things that crumble families and crush them. It's because they don't know how to create wealth. Okay? Now let me give you some basic financial skills. Your net worth, wealth creation is your net worth. What, if we sold all of you, what would be left? What would be your substance? Okay? And don't tell me I have a car on loan. A loan, a car is not an asset. It depreciates. Assets always appreciate. They gain value. A car is not an asset. It's a very impressive item. It doesn't appreciate. So if you're going to create wealth, you're going to have, in Abraham's language, increase in substance. Am I making sense? Your substance must increase. And so when you buy a dress, you are wasting resources. You cannot resell a dress. It doesn't matter how expensive it is. Go to a winner's market and you'll find a dress that was sold for 5,000 shillings is being sold at 20. Why? Because it has been used. Am I making sense there? So you appreciate by increasing in wealth, increasing the substance and the value of the goods that you have. Immediately you buy a Mercedes in the showroom, it depreciates by 50% because you have more potholes in Kampala than in Nairobi. Do you understand what I mean? You can't say, I bought this Mercedes last week, I am selling it at a higher price. The guys will say, this thing has hit 5 potholes already, depreciated 50%. So be careful on the things that you actually buy. An education is an investment. It's a value-adding item. A car is not an investment. It is a depreciating item. A dress is not an investment. There is a certain level to which you can actually buy a dress. I don't know what it is, but in Kenya, if you get to 1,000 shillings dress, that's about a dress. Anything above 1,000 is now extravagance because it only dresses you. That's the only thing it does. So if you are spending 25,000 or 30,000 or 40,000 shillings on a dress, you are misusing resources. Can somebody translate it into Uganda shillings? To be dressed sufficiently is about how much? 20,000. Now, when you start spending 100, 150 to come in here and show me your bling blings, you're not impressing me. You're showing me how much money you don't know how to use money. You're wasting resources. Because if you put that money in education, if you put that money in a savings account, it will increase over time. And then you will be able to get a project which you want to do. So the first sense is, are we increasing in substance or are we enjoying life? You must agree as a couple that you have to gain wealth so that the next generation can move forward. Now, David was told in very precise terms that, hey, boss, put together all the resources that are necessary for my temple, but you will not build it, your son will build it. Now, some of you have been given the assignment to build the temple, and that some of that wealth is like, your son is going to build it, but you leave them with nothing. And so God has to start again. How, you know your friends or your neighbors who are always starting from zero, their fathers were poor, their children are poor, everybody is poor, even the rich ones become poorer before they die, and the cycle of poverty just goes on. It's because some parents refuse to look ahead and say, this wealth is necessary to transform this nation in the next generation. Now, if you want to see the power of the importance of wealth, I have no time to get into the details, but in the Bible, the transformation that always took place is always a factor of wealth. Even David's power as the leader of Israel, he was just a vagabond running with people until he married Abigail. But if you study Abigail and Naboth, the fool, what do you call him?
Yes.
He was a very wealthy man. And when he married that lady, he inherited all that wealth. That is when the people started noticing, hey, there's a guy called David, let us make him king. Now, I know you have your intricacies and moralities about it, who Abigail and killing and so on. But the fact is, the wealth made the kings fear Abraham. The wealth made the people realize there is a man there who is serious with God. He has a God who is powerful. So when they see you in poverty, this is not a reflection of heaven. Help me here. I'm not preaching prosperity gospel, but I am preaching prosperity gospel. I am, right? Yes, for a good reason, because heaven is not poor. Okay? So, wealth. Start thinking of wealth as a good thing that adds value. Now, let's get some nitty-gritty that also helps people here. Now, you know I'm in the technical session here. Okay? Now, most people don't know that there are two things you have. There are operational expenses with your income. How to create wealth. Meaning, you have to have something left at the end of the month. If you finish everything at the end of the month, you will never be rich. Alright? So, plan to get something at the end of the month. However, there is two types of operations here. There is operational expenses and development expenditure. Now, crisis in marriage always hits because everybody is talking about operational expenses and nobody talks about development expenses. That is part of your income. You must split your income down the middle and say, this is what we're going to eat. This is what we're going to save and invest. And then you will accumulate wealth over month on month. If you don't, you will finish it and you will go worse and even buy dresses which you don't need because you have the money. Does that sound familiar? There's extra money here, so I needed a new pair of shoes. And so those ones that were? Yes, so you get those ones. And for 2 weeks, you clippity-clop and clippity-clop until the heel breaks. You are doing operational expenses. Now, let's get technical and figure out what's the difference here. One, there is food, clothing, rent, and transport. Those are operational expenses. Okay? But as I'm saying, to live within your means, don't put it beyond 40% or 50% because you will not have anything to save. And as I said, there is a limit at how many plates you can eat. How many plates of food can you eat? Just three. I don't care. Some people can eat three. But most married people can actually share one plate of food. Did you know that? And they will be healthy. There are people who have tried to get fat. You see these young people here who are, they eat those three plates. They cannot manage. They don't get, they have no peace. And they can't get fat. 1 week, where's my gentleman who is married in 1 week? Can you see his cheeks already boiling? Yes. 1 week after marriage. And you think he's eating more? No. We have been eating from one plate because we only have one plate. And they begin to grow fat. Amazing. That's the power of marriage. You used to sleep in two houses, you used to pay two rents. Now you are in one house, in one bed. Hey, you are so productive, one. Yes. You have reduced the government expenditure and you are raising more tax. By your marriage. You've given opportunity for somebody else to get a house. Okay? So there's a limit. Yeah? That guy, if he used to take a bus before, he would say, let my wife go to work by bus, I'll walk. He'll wake up and walk. He will agree, he will submit to do it. Not because the transport is there, but he says, you know what? My wife cannot be suffering like this. Watch her chukwe hizo matatu mbili and gets to work on time, me I'll figure it out. Okay? Then there is development expenditure, which is not, people don't put in their budget. Now, if you are married, please put this in your budget because these are the things that will cause you a problem in the long term. Savings. Capital. Now, when I'm saying savings and capital, please don't think they are very different things. It's exactly the same. The bank is able to loan you money because they have your savings. So if you get an income and you save, you create capital. I had a young man a little bit earlier was talking about need capital. Just save the money. It will be capital for your investment. Investment and multiply. Okay? Buy things that are increasing net worth. So we bought this land at 160,000 10 years ago. Do you know how much that worth land is worth now? It is worth something between 10 and 15 million shillings. I do not even have 10 or 15 million shillings in my bank account. Actually, I don't even have a million. To be very sincere, I have less than half a million. That brick, that house that was built over the time for those 2 years and cost 300,000-400,000 shillings to complete, now is worth 10 million. In its dilapidated state, not even up to, okay? But it's because instead of eating ice creams and hot dogs and nyamachoma, we decided to invest. Now, think about these things. Now, let's think spiritual. These are the things that grow your love because you have experience together. Now, if you marry a woman or a man who is already rich, you will become one of his assets because you came and found these things here. So you can't start telling me what to do with these things were here before you came. So you might as well go. Are you understanding what I mean? It's very hard for a rich man not just to enter heaven, but to love a new wife. Because you just see him as, okay, Mercedes, Mercedes, BB. Okay, where, car, happened? No problem. You can enjoy these things, but when I'm tired of you, you'll go. But if you have worked together and then you see this building, you see, when I see that house, I just think of the time we had no money and we were sitting there looking. I say, I was with who? It is only her I can share this one with. Everybody else thinks that we have always had these things. Only she knows where they came. So we have a relation, even a financial relationship. She can tell the people, that's not going to happen. And they will come to me and then they will say, oh, she told us it's going to happen. And I say, yeah, it's not going to happen. How did she know she's your wife? She's really... Do you know where I've come from with that woman? And you're the one who's trying to tell me what to do. am I making sense? Yeah? Do you know where I have come with that man? Do you know the times we slept without? Do you know the times we went to hospital to take? Do you know? And then you think that you can just come in here and you tell me that she's Come on. No way. Okay. Wealth. You create it. Enterprise. Now, there, young people, I want to address this one to young people particularly. In Africa, we have a need for entrepreneurs. A major, major need for entrepreneurs. One of the things I would like to challenge this generation is that please let us create more entrepreneurs than employees. Because entrepreneurs create wealth. Employees consume wealth. Now it's hard work, I agree. But that's your generation, okay? So that's more tips that you can have. Okay, now I'm about to get to some action points here, but don't worry, we'll be closed shortly. Then you can ask some questions. Managing money. Now these are the mikakati, these are the strategies. Somebody asked me, how do you manage financials? I'm giving you the basic substructure of financial thinking. Now, do you know there are only four things you can do with money? Only four. Actually, there are five, but four are the legitimate ones. One, you can give it away. Okay? Now, I agree giving is good. But if you have worked an entire month for that sweat, do you just give it away? Do you just give it to the landlord and say, here, nimekaa kwa nyumba yako for the whole month, here is money, go. Do you know that paying rent adds no value to your substance? It adds no value to your net worth. In fact, when you leave that house, you'll be required to paint it. And the longer you stay in that house without building your own house, you are using money which would have built yours. That's what I mean by giving it away. That's what I mean by giving that fellow the address which cost 20,000 because you want to look nice when you are can be appropriately dressed with 5,000. That's just giving. Now, if you just give, you can't expect. You will reap the returns. By the way, married people, one of the foundational things you must do and discuss from day one is when are we moving into our own house? And the best people to drive that agenda is the woman. Because the woman is the one who's going to be left with trouble. I told you men die earlier. So if you have any sense in you, woman, make sure you live in your own house before you are 30. You're looking at me like I'm talking strange stuff. Read the newspapers. Talk to these women here. The boss has the guy has lost his job. Who is suffering? The woman is being kicked out of the house. Think about it. I told that to my friend one time and he really was so annoyed. I told him, boss, how much do you spend living in this house? Oh, I pay 20,000 shillings in a nice place, one of your nice places. Eh? 20,000 shillings, yeah, I pay 20,000 shillings a month. I said, okay, let's do the math. Do you know what you do every year? Every year you go to Dubai, buy a second-hand Nissan B12, come import it, put it in Mombasa, drive to your landlord's house and give him the keys. And tell him, see you again next year. And you have done it for 3 years. So how long are you going to keep doing this? Buying other people cars. And this is money you have earned. The bishop was telling me a story. The bishop of Sitem was telling me a story of how he built his own house. He had paid rent for 10 years until he got the final letter from the landlord, which said, dear Bishop, please stop paying rent to my housing account. I have finished purchasing the property. That takes a bit of time to sink. Dear Bishop, please do not pay the money into my building account because I have finished buying the house. He bought the house for? That's when he decided, excuse me, can't do this anymore. Now, you know, I can see the look on some of your faces. You have been living in the house for 15 years and you're in trouble. Sorry. Do something now. Spending. Spending, I'm only allowing you to spend if you have the 40% and 60% investment. Clear. Now, this is the mathematics people don't tell you when you are getting married or when you're going for the wedding. They ask you, have you got enough money to pay for the wedding? They don't ask you, have you got enough money to see you through your marriage? Okay? Your spending must be based on the analysis of operations and investment so that your investments can increase. Now, if you do this together, you're doing well. The other thing is saving. Now, why do I want you to save? I have said it before, because saving is your capital. It is capital for your development. If you don't save, you lose this. And the fourth one is investing. So the things that you should be doing most are down here, saving and investing. Worst case scenario, make it 50%. Right? 50% giving and spending, 50% saving. Well, you have to start somewhere, so you might start with 10% and so on. So those will be some of your investment goals after this, financials. Right? We will save 10%. You know, the Bible is very good. It always says 10%, 20% and things like those. Joseph saved Israel. Joseph saved Egypt simply by 20%. You can save your marriage, I tell you, with less than 20%. Just with 20%. If you saved just 20%, you could build a nation. All right? And then the last one, which everybody enjoys, is called debts. Okay? I will not ask those who have debts to put up their hands. Because... because this is probably your biggest asset. Now, if this is your biggest asset, you're going to be in trouble for a long time. Okay? So, develop those assets. Develop. Get out of debt, get out of debt, get out of debt. That's all I have to say about debt. Get out of it. Pay it off slowly, pay it off gradually, but pay it off and get out of it. One of the things that we have agreed as a family is to make sure that we don't get into debt. Any debt that is unmanageable, we say, I don't think this is a godly thing that we owe people too much money. We will build where we are, and this is where the money has reached. We will wait and work until the next one comes. And God is so amazing. He sees your intention. The assignments come. But be faithful. Don't start getting the assignments. Then you say, ah, this building can wait. Let us go and enjoy in Mombasa for 2 weeks and then we'll come back and see if this... that one, it will stop. All right. Now, if you want to develop a family strategy, and I'm coming close to the end here, look at this document. Right? When it says managing money, look at the current affairs, the current strategy on set goals using that document, but look at under managing money. Do an evaluation of how much money you give, spend, save, and invest today. Then create a desirable matrix. And my desirable matrix would be giving 10 to 15%, spending 30 to 60% or something in between, depending on where you are, saving minimum 20, investing minimum 20. And debt should be zero. If you're already in debt and you're spending 15 or 20% in debt, figure out a way of clearing that debt and revert that money to investments. That will move you forward as a family. Okay? Then there is wealth creation there, which I've talked about. Work out your net worth. How much do you actually own? And how much do you owe? And actually find out what is the figure that you are worth. Then do what God allows you to do. Dream of a big figure, like a millionaire. I am actually asking God for 100 million shillings right now. Because I have projects. How many of you have projects? I want to build a training school. I want to create a fund for my family. I want to build a new house. I want to reorganize the business. I've broken it down. And that letter is already there. It gets there every 100 million. Exactly, I know what to do with each of those millions. I don't know where the money is coming from, but I've taken it for application. It's under consideration. And I know I've done that many times before. I've never been failed. Even if it comes back edited, it will be close to 100 million. Okay. All right. And then you have there on the page there, my role and my commitment. That is you and your wife. What am I going to do? I'm going to get the income. I'll look after the children. This is our family vision. This is how we're going to work towards those goals that we have set up there. Okay? Then we have the implementation framework. Now, for you to implement a strategy, you need to communicate. You need to talk to one another. You need to sit down. We have what we call a board meeting every month. Now, a board meeting should not take place in the bedroom. For obvious reasons, not in the bedroom. Go take the financial documents, go and sit apart somewhere in a park or somewhere in a boardroom and look at the financials and say, how much money did we spend last month? How much money did we save? What should we do this month? And hold each other accountable. That's what this section is about, all right? That section below there. Hold those board meetings every month. When the children get bigger, we hold, as we do with our children right now, we hold quarterly, we hold annual planning sessions and quarterly review sessions. At the end of the first term, or at the beginning of the first, the end of the year, we say, next year you're going to standard 3. How many marks are you going to get? You're going to get 300 marks. And how what you are going to achieve? You're going to learn to read. And junior, how old are you? You are 2. By next year, you should stop potty. It is a goal. That's what she can achieve at that point. Do you know what? Now our children know that in order to move forward, you have to set goals. Do you want to go to university? You must get 400 marks. Don't wait for the exam in grade 8 to get you knocked out and say, oh, I failed. We are doing this in standard 5. What is your goal? Campus. What is the breakdown? What do you do now? I've got to get 500. Fine. Keep those 500. If you get less than 500 now, we're saying, oh, so you're telling us you're not going to university? No, no, it was my friend. It was your friend, eh? those friends of yours, you see what they are doing to you? They are killing your goal. And so every quarter we review. My condition for paying school fees is that you pass these papers. And if you pass them, I might give you a bicycle. Might. Or a violin. Might. Okay? But there's always that illusion, attraction. Now you see the consultant in me is coming out, eh? Yes. I begin setting financial targets and working like IMF with conditions, eh? Yes. You become IMF and you manage your family's development. Now we're having to think about this violin. She has learned the violin. You mean that's the end of her dream? No. She has to go to a college where they teach violin because my education is now limited in terms of violin. So take her to a violin school. So we have to figure that one out. And we start making discussions. Oh, you see, if you get A's, you actually might get a scholarship and go to a school where they teach. You guys are clever. Now you're getting it. See? Just learn how to be strategic. And the people who you want to work will work for you. But it's God who has given you that leadership role. Okay? So there you have your annual planning sessions, your quarterly reviews, and your monthly budget discussions, not in the bedroom. Right? Okay. So this is what I want you to do. And before Violet is about to come up and do the Q&A, and then we will have to work towards closing there. One, study this template. You see this document I've given you? Please go and study it. And fill it out, especially with your spouse, the various paragraphs that reflect you, so that you have a document. Now, this is the strategy. This is the plan. This is the tool. And since we are blessed to be this number, you can take an extra one as you are going. Because this one, you are doing notes. Huh? Then you sit down and do it nicely. Okay? Refer to your timeline. The timeline which I showed you, that one that shows you can live up to 70 years, look at it strategically. And figure out what you're going to do in 5 years' time, in 10 years' time, in 20 years' time. You can. God has told you in Psalms, a man will live up to 70, and if he is strong, 80. So I tell you, intend to live to 80. Make an intention. And then in your timeline, draw out, I don't have a timeline, but in your timeline, say member of parliament here, okay? Then you say millionaire. Then you say pastor, and you make it up to 80. And it's work. It will require work. All right? Use the seminar notes and the seminar sheets to determine your priorities. Now remember, your priorities are not your neighbor's priorities. Even the two of you sitting next to each other, God has totally different plans for you. And we know that because I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for? Prosperity. You know, that suggests to me that if you're not prospering, then you are probably not in God's plan. All right? Work on the priorities. Put your ideas on paper. Be brave enough. Work as a couple to develop a working document using the structure of the template. Don't wait to be perfect. Don't wait to be perfect. If you can do it, you will begin aligning your thoughts. And you know what? You will begin teaching us. Many of the things now we are improving are coming from people who are telling us, you know, we did this and now we learned. Now we have to include a will and a legacy in this book. So the next book will have another chapter, but it won't have come from us. It will have come from the people who have actually implemented this, and they will develop. Briefly present your strategy to an accountability group. And this is where I'm handing over to Pastor to let him know that if we're going to move this thing forward, we're going to have a married fellowship, accountability groups, especially those who have had this message. And even the young people are saying, join if you're a group of two or three couples and you want to adopt one of these young guys to give them insight, adopt them as you discuss these things. And they will begin to create a new generation and create a tool that will move people forward. Okay? But Pastor is going to come and talk about that with the launch of the fellowship. Okay. Violet. That's the end of the technical session. We are now ready for questions.
Thank you, Alan. Thank you so much. Thank you. Let's just clap for him again. All that energy. Yeah. So now I'm here to just ask help to facilitate questions, because questions also, when we respond to questions, it stimulates answers, and then we are able to even apply ourselves even better. So may I have three or four questions, and then we'll be able to respond. Yes, come, please. There's one burning question.
Thank you, guys. From my business school background, I'm saying, I don't know, I want to get a clear picture of what you're saying, the 60-40 percentage, because an average Ugandan earns about 20,000 in a day, which is about 600,000 on the high side.
Mm-hmm.
Average Ugandan, mark me correctly. Now, for housing, the minimum you could probably go for is about 200,000. That is about a third of it. So already you've taken off 33% of your operational costs. If you look at food and transportation, you're actually looking at that wholesome going away.
Mm.
So how would you make that workable to have 60% going to development in terms of saving and investments and having just 40%? I'm looking at someone who doesn't own any land. If you look at the banking sector, our interest rates are horrible. So you cannot get a mortgage, you cannot get a loan to help you grow. How would you work that out?
Yes. Thank you.
Good, good. In other words, make it practical. Can it work? Good. That's a good question. Thank you. And he's been calculating. I think he's really, really going to implement these suggestions. Another question, please, as we ponder on that. Unless you'd like to respond to that immediately.
Okay. I think the percentage here is that we recognize those two aspects of development and operations. If you are starting today and this is the first time, you'll probably have to say 10%. Okay? So you operate within that 90% framework. But if you have been within it for some time, you may have to make some adjustments in your life. For example, if you are living in a 300,000 house, you could move to a 200,000 one and release the 100,000. If you have, maybe you hadn't been thinking too critically about your consumption budget and it was taking 200,000-300,000, you can cut it down to 150,000 and still sort of manage. So we're talking about reallocating resources. And that starts slowly. My wife and I are not very keen on bank loans because we know those banks frustrate you and use your money and then they come and take it. Okay? So we try and generate internal resources by reallocating expenditure. One of the strategies I used to help my friend who was paying that that house rent was that, look here, you're living in a upmarket area that is beyond you. Why don't you move to Buruburu, which would half your rent, still live in a good place, still access, but release resources for you to save. And we are saying that, do you have cooperatives in cooperative societies? They're dead. One of the things that has helped Kenya move forward is cooperative societies. Now, why do we encourage people to save with cooperative societies? A cooperative society takes your money, keeps it for you, and then loans it to you. So by borrowing from a cooperative society and faithfully paying back the cooperative society, you actually build yourself. All right? So we encourage the use of cooperative society against banks. But if that is not accessible to you immediately, then you will have to create an internal mechanism of reallocating expenditure and creating a savings balance. Now, what tends to happen, again, may not work in all cases, but as you start to save, you develop the propensity to save. You know, we started saving 500 shillings for Moses' college fees when he was born. But you know what? After some time, he said, but we can also save 1,000. Let's save 2,000. Let's save 3,000. And it began to build. So what we're looking at here is the longer term. Think longer term. Don't think too short term. Give yourself enough time to think over the next 5 years, I need to be in my own house. And if I take an allocation and get to 20%, it can build up over time. Okay? So the immediate situation may be a bit challenging, but the long-term one with a strategic focus can be re-engineered.
Thank you. Yeah. You want to add?
Okay. Yeah.
I think it's my wife who read the story of a farmer. I think somewhere in Hoima, who walked to a bank with a bag of coins, you know, 100 shillings, 50 shillings, 100 shilling coins, and it was 2 million shillings. Now, we read that, and my wife and I save coins. So every coin we take home, it's very little, we put it in a box. Now, every once in a while, we are stupid. We empty it and blow it, you know? But one whole year, we did that, and we had over 100,000 shillings to give. Christmas gifts to, you know, people in the village and all. But it just, 100 shillings. Whichever coin we take home, we'd put it in this box. So, you know, God honors those small beginnings. And we may dream of 40%, but it starts somewhere. It may start with 0.01%. And it builds. You know, savings always grow. So grow it from 0 to 1 to 2 to 3 to 4 to, you know, by the end of the year, you won't believe how much you have. And, you know, banks here, the newer banks like Ecobanks and Equity Banks, they have very good saving schemes. You can actually give them your money for 3 months and they'll give you 10% every 3 months or every month, depending on how much you give them. So there are ways that we can explore, even using our banking sector, to give them our money and they work for us and they give you things like fixed deposit accounts. They give you 14% every year. If you deposit their 100,000 shillings, you won't believe how much you'll have for your son in 10 years. So we should start somewhere.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor. I've just remembered a friend of mine who we worked with some years ago, and she was pursuing a college degree. She was formerly had done a certificate, and she was pursuing a college degree part-time. She decided to move from an upmarket area to where we live in Rongai, which is a lower market area. And she was able to save not only on rent, she was able to save on her food expenses, because you'll find many other things add up. Food was cheaper from where we are. And all she had to do was now to travel longer to get to town. And also you'll find that your network of friends are different. She's a single girl, so she was able to move to this local community where most of the friends who wanted to go and spend with were not able to access her. But she knew she wanted to pursue her college degree. So my other take is, what is your goal? What is your goal? What do you want to accomplish? Will you be able to sacrifice some of the things that you would want to consider and then pursue the goal? So I encourage you, take it small, 0.1%. It may be small, but little is much also when God is in it. Commit your ways to the Lord. I don't want to preempt that. But any other question or any other encouragement or exposition? Yes, come.
Thank you. As you know, for the singles, we are shy a bit, so you can you cannot be so much attentive. So my question is as brief as it is like this. Can I start planning and saving on the business which maybe I want for our future before her? Because the kind of business I'm aiming at, I want to start beef farming.
Farming.
Bee farming,
mm-hmm.
Of which maybe when it is now honey time, she may be now around. Then the second question on managing the money.
Mm.
This one I'll still go back on the other first question which I fired before. Mm. This one goes on spending and debt.
Mm-hmm.
The challenges on spending, like for me, I'm not a landlord here. And unfortunately, I don't stay with my parents. I'm renting. How can I do minus renting? Then I have also my brother, as I told you, when he got lost, when he died, I'm the one to transport the dead body. I don't stay within here. I stay in northern part of the country, Gulu. Transporting the dead body is a big challenge. So how can I do minus spending and the debt where I was working? There was tools which I was having, but due to some circumstances, some riots, the security officers, they grabbed those tools. That is a camera. And I was supposed to pay during they could deduct from the salary. But afterwards, again, I was sacked. How can I do that? Then the last question on gifts. Said what your hopes and what your dream is. When I was in primary school, I was hoping to be a doctor. And actually in primary 7, I was among the best 4 in the country. During my period, they could put in papers or in television the best 4. But later on, the challenges came. When I reached senior 4, I was abducted by the rebel in 1996. And I lost my hopes. When I came back, the person who was again surrendered to pay me in the year 2000 died of Ebola, Dr. Matthew Lukwia. Then thereafter, I lost all hopes because I don't have any. So what way forward? What advice can you give for more hope? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I think Alan can. Thank you.
Those are important questions. Could I ask Violet, just as you are done, to give out the evaluation forms so that people can look at them, the evaluation forms that are coming on. Now, those are three very important questions. I will rephrase your first question by saying, can you prepare for marriage? Yes, please do, and hurry up. Prepare for your bees for now, because that's what you are seeing, isn't it? When she comes, she will see honey, and then she will decide we'll change this into a honey-making plant. Or she may decide, close this bee plant, let's open milk. But you see, you will be having something. So you need to have a goal, you need to have something you're working on. And you can prepare for marriage. I think that is your question in a sense, that will these financials actually be of value? And how do I wait for my partner so that we start together? No, their incompatibility is allowed. When she finds you or you find her, you will have to create a new, so long as you are willing to make that mix. Now, the rich people who are saying when they get, and I've already got too much, then you just become an asset. Now, that's a problem. Okay? So, yes, prepare for your marriage and don't worry. If you can do bees, do bees. If you can do butterflies, also are good. Now, number two, you're saying, how do we spend, how do you restart your business? And how do you, I'm saying, what I hear you saying is, how do you restart your life given the debt situations and the trials that you have actually been through? I think it's very important to realize that our God is not limited by circumstances. Indeed, many people go through trials. And I am not saying that what you have been through is easy. But what I am saying is that the God of Joseph, who was able to rescue the people, the God of Daniel, who removed him from circumstances where there was war and trouble and raised him to be the prime minister, is the same God today. One of these days you will stand and give that testimony and say that God took me from this place and I went through these trials. The only thing that you will fail to do is to move from the house of God and fail to lose. But if you can call unto God, who says you can't be a doctor? Who says? All you have to do is to go to medical school. And you know what it needs to go to medical school? It means you go to school and you go to college and you can be 50 years old and you can be 70 years old and you become a medical doctor. And probably that's why you needed to be a medical doctor, because you needed to deal with Ebola. Just touched you personally. For me, you know, that makes you angry, eh? That makes you angry. But for me, it's like, oh, yeah, there's Ebola. But for the thing that attaches me, the dart, I can do something about. So I'm saying, perhaps God is just refining you and giving you the process to deal with those particular issues. Okay? So I'm, in a sense, I'm talking very carefully, not to downgrade the suffering that you have been through. But where you're going is more important than where you've come from. So let's work with God to create that dream. Let's work with God to create that future. There's an element of debt that you have put within there, which I think is very critical. Debt, how do you put it? Debt is a very bad thing. Okay? Now, you came into debt because of the circumstances and situations that you are in, and so you had to pay off. But there's a circumstance in the Bible when God says, I forgive you, go and be healed, be well, and do not sin again. Now, there's situations where we ourselves, who have got credit cards and access to banks, that we put ourselves in debt. And then we get into trouble, so much debt that we have to pay off. So debt is a very, in financial terms, you must be very, very careful, because the attractions of this world can be given to you, especially with the attraction of debt. And that hooks you and it locks you in. And many businesses have been stuck because they get into debt to the point that they are working for the landlord or you are working for the bank. So work yourself out of debt. And this is an encouragement to all of us. If you are in debt, try as much as possible to get out of it and work with what you've got. In our household, we have this saying, work with what you've got. If I want a nice car, I'll say, fine, how much can we afford? This is what we have. If we have to take a loan that's beyond our net worth to service, sorry, we can do without it. It's probably not possible, feasible. But if we work hard and we save some more money and we get to a point where we can save some, we can still buy that car. But we are going to be patient and wait for that, because we don't believe debt is a solution. You can see what's happening to the third world. We are here because we are in debt. If we weren't in debt, we'd move forward. Okay? So, yes, your hopes and your dreams, 70 to 80 years. Me, I'm seeing you haven't even gotten 40 yet. So you bad look on 60 years. Talk to these Moses here who have children. There's still time, there's still hope, there's still space. Amen. Right. Ladies and gentlemen, I think we have come to a close. You have received some evaluation forms. Please fill those in and let us have them. They will help us improve the seminar. And I think I want to hand back to Pastor Zeddy or his pointer to wrap up and point out the way forward in terms of what you want to do with all of this knowledge. Okay.
How many of us here would honestly say that this has been good stuff, good food. So you can tell the people who missed that they are starving. The next time they should come and eat. Thank you so much, Alan and Violet, for coming. It's a good gesture of love. It's a good gesture of fellowship as brothers. And, you know, they are, of course, been blessed in that way, and we've been beneficiaries of their blessings. So just to appreciate them again. And we want to, you know, cultivate the fellowship of marrieds within this church. And how many people here are married? Both of you are here? At least one of you. All right, we're going to close. And if you're married, please stay behind. We will meet for a few minutes as Paul has something to share with us concerning the revival of the marriage fellowship, and then he's going to do a church-wide communication tomorrow as well, as we try to, you know, get it. Now, you know that it's very hard to get married together because they never want to talk about their marriage issues with anybody else, but it is very safe. It is very safe. You'd rather, you know that phrase, better safe than sorry. So there's an opportunity for safety. And for you who are single, you know, there is room for you to tag along and learn. You never know that you're a very selfish man or woman until you get married. As a single man or woman, you think, I'm on fire for the Lord. I'm, you know, there's nothing more I can do. And then you get married, and every day somebody says to you in the face, you're so selfish. You know, and this is also a time for you to learn from marriage, so we'll try to arrange and organize a forum whereby marriages in the church interact with singles in a setting like this, in a Q&A, in a presentation or two, so that we prepare for marriage and we help you prepare for marriage as well. We have a lot to learn together. And a lot to learn from one another. So I'll just ask Edward, we'd love to pray. And we are so honored to have Alan and Violet here with us because we didn't pay them to be here, you know? So let's start saving up our 40% so the next time we can give them as much as we have saved. But we're going to just, you know, send them off with our prayers and blessing and you know, the books. I'll ask them to leave a couple of them behind so that we can market them tomorrow through the church, and I will hopefully send them the money through M-Pesa. I hope it gets there. Well, let's come forward and let's just send Alan and Violet and thank them with our blessing. So please, come. Let's pray for this wonderful couple.
Yes. As you come forward, I would like to say something. You know, this couple, we have just done the book of Acts, whereby we learned about Peter and who was this sent to Peter? Cornelius. Cornelius was a mighty man of God, a prayerful man, doing the work of God. But there are certain things he didn't know. So this couple today, as you see them here, Aaron and Violet, they actually, God has sent them to us. And they have told us things to do in our lives and in the church. So we are going to help those ones who didn't attend this seminar here today. Yeah, before they come back. Yes. And actually, we are going to ask pastor, as the marrieds and the singles, to invite him now, because we are going to spread the message. You say, come and see what the Lord did when you are not around. So, thank you, sir. We are so grateful. Let's give thanks. Father, we want to thank you. We want to appreciate you and glorify your name at this very moment, Lord. Thank you for sending Alan and Violet to us today. Thank you for using Pastor. That, Lord, a period of time has gone by. They talked sometime, they met, but in between something happened and they could not speak to one another. But here again, you opened the way. You've sent him here and his wife. He has told us things to do. Indeed, he has blessed us as couples in this church. He has blessed us as singles in this church. And he has given, he left us with some challenges. Father, help us to change our lives with this message. Help us to be truly followers of you. Even the image that you gave Adam some time ago, and Eve, you have given us a chance again to make things right. And Lord, to bring generations forth. Not only ours in this time, but generations. We look ahead. Thank you so much, Lord. Father, as they go back, tomorrow or today, I don't know, Lord, be with them. Use them to help other people. I know in Kenya, there is a Lord which is needed, Lord. I was there a few months. I was born there, but since I left, I know the background of that country. I know the family backgrounds of that country. I know what's happening there. Use them, Lord, mightily. As simple as they are, articulate as they are, Father, use them. Because as you used Peter to help Cornelius, just, Lord, help them to do that. Thank you for their gifting, their talent. All this, Lord, that you have given them to help others, Father. We pray for the second coming back of them. Come back to this place. And Lord, that time you will enable more couples to come. Not only in CCK, but from other churches. Of course, we are going to use us to preach this message and tell other people to come. So that, Lord, they can benefit from this message. We thank you. We appreciate you, Lord, as we depart. Just help us, Lord, and help CCK Church to grow to a level by that, Lord, might with this knowledge that we are not moved and we are not even copying things, but we are getting things from the horse's mouth, as it were. Father, thank you so much. Take us home safely. Bring us tomorrow. Bring people. If they are here, Lord, talk to us again. Bring as many people, touch those who stayed at home to come, because there's something for them tomorrow. We thank you, and all these things we put them before you in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. 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 Thank you.